Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. These are the rantings of Solomon, you might say. Solomon, of course, was the wisest man next to Jesus that ever lived, and yet he was the most foolish man, some may say. In Ecclesiastes, he's toward the end of his life, and he's come to the conclusion that nothing is new under the sun. In chapter 3, he tells us, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. I thought of this as I was contemplating the fact that we just entered into the season we call fall or autumn. I asked Alexa, I thought seasons were about 90 days long, but I wasn't 100% sure if one was longer than the other, and you got the whole solar thing going on. So Alexa said, how long is fall? 90 days. She knows this stuff, artificial intelligence. How long is winter? I think it was 91 days or something. I said, how long is spring? No, I think it was 89 days. I said, how long is spring? She said, 3 months and 1 day. Why are the others all in days, but spring was 3 months and a day? I don't know. That's a question for Alexa. But anyway, when we say seasons, we're not really talking about winter, spring, summer, fall. We're talking about seasons of our life. Amen. And just as our planet that orbits the sun goes through these cycle of seasons, our life goes through cycles of seasons. And we here read that these seasons are a time for every purpose under heaven. I like the phrase under heaven because when we get to heaven, there'll be one season. It'll be the season of joy and gladness and peace forevermore, where there will be no tears or heartache or sorrow. But under heaven, it's not quite the same, is it? But notice that it is a time for every purpose under heaven. That leads me to great comfort to know that these seasons of my life that may not be very enjoyable, that God has a purpose for my life, for your life. So regardless of what season I may be in, God is in control. His purpose will be made known. He tells us there's a time to be born and a time to die. And to the skeptics who say the Bible is not true, take them to a cemetery and let them read the two dates with a dash between it, and you can say, see, the Bible's true. There is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. And that is true. There's nothing we can do about that. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And if you live long enough, you will see your children be born, and you will have great joy, and then you will see your grandparents die, and you will witness the grief of your parents. I still remember my dad, who never cried. He was tough as nails, you know, World War II, Korean War, and I remember him wiping the tears from his face when my Grandpa Jones died. And then you will eventually see your parents die, which is something none of us enjoy. These are seasons of our life. And then you will see your grandkids be born, if you had children. And you will get to experience that joy again as you maybe bounce them on your knee the way I do my little granddaughter, Octavia. I do the Bonanza theme song. I did it with my kids. When Nathan was a baby, I did it so much that he would be crawling across the floor in his diaper, and his grandfather on my wife's side started humming it, and he started rocking. It was just an automatic response to the Bonanza theme song. So I'm carrying on the tradition with my granddaughter. And so there is a time to be born and there's a time to die. And there's also a time to plant and a time to pluck up what's planted. It's called sowing and reaping. And it's not just about, you know, planting a watermelon and then having a good juicy watermelon on a day. It's about planting good seeds into people's lives. It's about giving encouraging words and seeing the fruit come of it. When my kids were little and they would complain, I used to always quote Jesus to them over the dinner table. In your patience, you possess your soul. And then one day, I reaped that as I was sitting at the dinner table murmuring about something, I think at work, and Harrison says to me when he's about 15, "Hey, Dad." "What, Harrison?" "In your patience, you possess your soul." And so you do reap what you sow. And it really doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. You're going to reap it. You can sow some bad seeds and reap them as well. There is a time to kill and a time to heal. And as Christians, we don't think about that. We say, well, that I would never kill anyone. You don't always physically kill people, but you can kill a dream by being discouraging. You can kill something that's bad. We're told that we are to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Jesus pretty much killed the job of the money changers that day when the zeal of his house had eaten him up. He didn't do this in anger. If you read the story, he patiently wove a whip. And then when it was done, as he's watching them fleece the people, saying, "Oh, your little dove has a blemish right there. You got to get our USDA approved dove for an exorbitant amount of money." And he's getting ticked off as he's watching them fleece the people. So he killed their job right there, didn't he? Turned over their tables, beat them with the whip he made. And of course, there's a time to heal. There's a lot of kind of healing that takes place. Obviously, we pray for physical healing, but there's also emotional healing that's often needed. There's traumas that happen in people's lives. And I've read testimonies of young women who've been raped. And I remember the statement by one woman where she said, "He took away something of my life that day, but I refused to give him another day of my life." And we need healing, emotional healing sometimes. There's a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away. I was mentioning to one of the girls I work with that I have an entire plastic tub of network cables, being a nerd. And she said, "Maybe, Roger, you need to throw some of that stuff away." We all are hoarders to a certain degree, I guess, and maybe not as bad as others. A time to tear down, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak. This last week, an administrative meeting with the owner of the company who flies in once a month. One of the nurses from my work, knowing my position on the Bible in the last days, they were talking about COVID, and she said, "Well, I'm sure they're going to get an antidote or whatever, and there's going to be a vaccine, and this is all going to blow over. This is not the end of the world." And she looked at me. There's times when I've spoken up. I don't care who I'm in front of. That was a time I kept silent. I'm sure I will say something to her this week. But I chose not to say anything at that time. There's a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. You are in different seasons of your life as I am. I don't know what season you're in, nor do you know what season I'm in. Some of you know my personal things, but, you know, it's really God's season, isn't it? You know, spring is God's season. It's the time of the resurrection. Summer is one of the seasons made by God. In fact, Genesis tells us until the Lord comes, there will always be seasons. Seed time and harvest will always come. And for a Christian, because God is in control and these seasons are seasons under heaven, His purposes, then we can rest assured that whatever season we're in, God will see us through. I remember right after I joined the Air Force, my cousin Gary joined the Air Force a year before me. We were real close. We used to hang out every Saturday morning. We would go out and drive around to old used bookstores looking for comics because we both collected comics. And we were just, he was like a brother to me, and we hung out together. And he was a year older than me, and he went into the Air Force first. And then I went in the year later, and he got stationed at Offutt Air Force Base, which is in Omaha, Nebraska, which, if you know anything about Nebraska, no one puts in for Offutt Air Force Base in Omaha, Nebraska. But he says, "Raj, put in for Offutt Air Force Base." And so when I put in for it, obviously I got it, and they're handing out orders, and they said, "Oh, you got Offutt Air Force Base." I said, "All right." You know, I was all excited, wanted to see my cousin. So I joined the Air Force. It was the summer of 1978, went through basic training at tech school, got through all of that and got to Omaha probably around November, maybe late October of 1978. We had a great couple of months together, and then he got orders to Okinawa. 2 months with my cousin. So we went back to Tulsa. We had a great time and Christmas with family, and then he and his wife and little boy flew off to Okinawa. This is the first time I was really away from home. I'm in the barracks. It's January 1979, and it snowed about 2 feet on the first Friday of January. And I remember being in that barracks, which is kind of like a college dorm, you know, two guys to a room, staring out that window at the mounds of snow, and I'm homesick. What a season. It didn't end there. You know, it was all melted off by the time I could walk to work, which was, you know, not far away. And then the second Friday of January, 1979, again, 2 feet of snow. I'm in the barracks. I would call my mom, collect. One day she said, "Roger, you know you did call last night, right?" "Oh, Mom, did I?" What a season. The third Friday in January, 2 feet of snow. The fourth Friday in January, 2 feet of snow. The first Friday in February, 2 feet of snow. It's a season I'll never forget. However, by the end of 1979, on November 21st, I received the Lord. I got saved. New season. The devil told me not to go forward that day. He said, "You'll never have any friends," which was stupid. I didn't have any friends anyway. And after I got saved, it was a big Assembly of God church. I had lots of friends. And I remember the summer of 1980, after I got saved, it was warm and sunny. You could smell honeysuckle in the air. And I laid on a blanket next to a pretty girl. That was a good season of my life. And so we have these seasons in our life. And what we do with them depends on how long they last, in my opinion. Job had a very bad season. And we see how Job passed the test. He said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So we see one way of enduring those wintry seasons of life is to praise God in the midst of the time that is unpleasant. I meant to say, going back to that winter, they do have a bus on base. It's like a school bus, but it's blue in the Air Force. And I had to take that around to the other side of the base to go to the BX to buy, you know, personal items and snacks for the barracks. And I remember waiting. I remember waiting on that bus, freezing, looking down and wondering how many layers of ice I was standing on that day when I thought that bus would never come. I just thought I'd throw that in there. It was a hard season, amen? And you may say, well, that's nothing compared to what I'm going through, and I'm sure it's not. It was just cold. But there is a time to weep, and there is a time to laugh. And Jesus said, weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. The morning is a new season. There is a new season that is coming. And if you are in the season of weeping, I've got good news. I have it on the authority of the word of Jesus Christ. There will be a day when you will laugh again. It's just a season. Amen. It's just a season. Not only is there a time to weep and a time to laugh, it says there's a time to mourn and a time to dance. I often wonder why the Lord combines mourning with dancing. And then I remember the Old Testament verse, I think it's in Isaiah, he will turn your mourning into dancing. It's a promise of God that these two events in your life are connected. You may say, well, when am I going to get to dance? All I'm doing is mourning. I can't tell you when your season's going to end, but I can tell you he will turn your mourning into dancing. Amen? There will be a day when you will dance. Now, I have to confess, I do like 50s rock and roll, okay? So, yesterday, I was listening. Hey, Alexa, actually, I have the wake word computer. Play Little Richard everywhere. When you say everywhere, the music comes out. If you got these little Alexas, in every room you have one in. And so my dog Spock, whom I love, he and I have this thing. When I'm dancing, especially, he wouldn't do it on the hard floor, but if it's carpet and I'm doing the tutti frutti, oh Rudy, he lays on his back and he does this with me. And so me and Spock were dancing to Little Richard yesterday. He will turn your mourning into dancing. It will never stay mourning. You will never live there. It's just a season. It's just a season. It's going to pass. It's going to change. A time to keep and a time to throw away. This is a tough one because, like me and network cables, we tend to want to hold on to things. Sometimes God has us let go. I remember my dad telling me, I was never much a hunter. I was kind of a computer bookworm, you know, kind of science fiction guy. But my dad said back when they were kids, if they wanted to go coon hunting and they didn't have a gun or whatever, they would drill a hole in an old log and they would drop something shiny in that hole. And when the coon reached in to get it, they would hammer a couple of nails in on an angle coming out of the hole. And when the coon reached in to get it, and he would has little fists like we do, and he would pull up, his hand would get caught on those nails. And he said, and I don't know this, I'm just telling you what my dad said, he said, that thing will stay there and die rather than letting go of his prize. Sometimes people won't let go of something in their life. Maybe it's something toxic for them. There is a time to let go. There's a time, there's a season where it was great, it was fun, it was fine, but there's a time to let go. A time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. I don't even know what that would be. Maybe a contract, maybe an agreement. That could be a relationship. A time to keep silent, time to speak. I mentioned the thing in our admin meeting, another incident that happened to me years ago with my first wife. We were in Nebraska, where she was from. And we were all out eating with her father. Her father was a mason. you know anything about the Masonic Lodge, and I hope I'm not offending anyone. They have some very strange beliefs, and I don't think they're Christian. They have a lot of things that overlap into Christianity, but as far as actually being saved, born again, I don't think he was there. In fact, I know he wasn't. And it was shortly after 9/11, and there was some TV show, a TV in the corner, and they were talking about, you know, the Muslims, Islam, and he says, it was right about the time, and I believe God had this timing, that my little girl Kaylee, she was small then, needed to go to the restroom, and her mother said, well, I'll go with you. She didn't want to go by herself. And right about that time, her dad, kind of in an attack mode, said, I don't believe any of those religious kooks. Nobody has it right. Felt my preacher come on. But I felt my jaw lock, and I began to pray silently to myself, to the Lord. Lord, do you want me to say anything or keep silent? And then he said, so you want to say something about that? I think that was my cue. I said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. He goes, see, that's exactly what. And then, I don't even remember, it was like a machine gun went off, and I began to preach right there at that table. And I said, all I remember, the last thing I said, and you can be sure that everything that God said in His Word is going to come to pass just the way He said. I mean, it was like a cloak of anointing came on. And right about then, Deborah and little Kaylee come back. They have no idea what just happened with her dad. We all sit down. We start to eat. There is a time to speak. There is a time to take a stand. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. There is a time not to be silent. There's a time to be bold. There's a time to speak up for the Lord. There's a time to love and a time to hate. You might say, well, I don't understand hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. We're to love our enemies, but we are to hate evil. Sometimes evil people need to be loved, but they don't need to be condoned. Amen. You love the sinner, you hate the sin. I've suffered some personal attacks from a dear member of my family for speaking out against homosexuality. Does that mean I hate homosexuals? No. It means I hate the sin. I love everybody just as Jesus does. A time for war and a time for peace. You know, when you look at the life of David, he had seasons. David was known as a man after God's own heart. But he was not allowed to build Solomon the temple that Solomon built because he was a man of war, because he had blood on his hands. Now, David went through a lot. He went through a lot of seasons in his life, and he had some glorious times. Probably one of the pinnacle points in David's life was when he came in from the campaign and he's dancing before the Lord. He takes off, he's not naked, he takes off his outer robe, he's got on his little shorts, so to speak. And of course, Michael, his one of his wives, you know, shamed him, and God took care of that. But there's a time to just, you know, dance before the Lord. Now, David didn't live on the mountaintop because it's a season. Instead, he had some valleys. When he censuses the people, God brought an angel of death and literally hundreds of thousands of Israelites died by the hand of the angel of death because of David's sin. David experienced a coup by his own son because of his sins. And Absalom took the kingdom and David is on the run. David had the first king after him when he hadn't done anything. And And maybe you're like David, you're going through a season in your life where God doesn't make sense and you didn't do anything to deserve it, but it's just a season. But how David responded to King Saul is how we need to respond. Even if the person over you, maybe it's a boss or someone, is a jerk, you've got to honor the position even if you don't respect the person. And God will see you through the season. Amen. And then we think about Moses. The life of Moses is divided into three 40-year seasons. Talk about a long season. He spent 40 years being trained in Egypt. He was educated by the finest minds of the time. And then he spent 40 years as a sheep herder in Midian. How long does it take to prepare someone for ministry? Sometimes it takes a lifetime. Amen. Years ago, I wondered why the church didn't grow. I wanted one of those big mega churches just like any other pastor wants. I want to see people saved. God is more interested in growing me and you than he is in numbers. Amen. And so God will take you through a season of being a sheep herder. He will take you through some dry valleys. Amen. And so 40 years as a sheep herder. So now Moses is 80 years old. How'd you like to wait for 80 years to begin your ministry? And at 80 years old, then he spent the last 40 years taking the children of Israel through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, to the borders of the Promised Land. When we talk about David, one of the most famous psalms of David is the 23rd Psalm. And in the 23rd Psalm, he says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Do you know what that says? He's not living in that season. He's walking through it. Amen. And if you're in the valley of the shadow of death this morning, just remember that it's not going to last. That you're going to walk through it. You're going to come out on the other side. And Jesus is still with you. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And whatever season in life you're in, you can trust the Lord. And that's what it really all comes down to as we close. It comes down to trusting the Lord in seasons that are difficult, in seasons that are painful, in seasons that bring tears and mourning instead of dancing. It's about trusting the Lord. It's about saying, you know, as Job said, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. David said, "I was young, and now I'm old." What does that mean? David had seen a lot of seasons. But then he said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken." David, in all of the seasons of his life, and they may have been hard, said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread." That means that we can truly trust the Lord in the seasons of life. I mentioned at the beginning that these are seasons under heaven. Paul reminds us that we have a blessed hope, that the last season that we experience under heaven will be followed by a never-ending season above heaven. That blessed hope is that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is a season that will never end. And he says, so comfort one another with these words. And so I want to comfort you this morning as we close, that if you're going through a season of mourning, or you're going through a season of tears, you're going through a season of hard times, remember there is one season that will never end. And every day we live, we are one day closer to that blessed hope, that event where we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And he said, I will dry away all tears. And I tell you, even if you spend a lot of time in this valley, God is going to end it with the sound of a trumpet and the sound of a shout and the sound of an archangel. And we are going up. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for seasons in our life. We pray, Lord, that you help us to remember Job's response and to praise you even in the bad times. We pray that you'd help us to remember that weeping only endures for a night and joy comes in the morning, that we will not stay in our seasons, but they will change just as we have moved into fall. The new season will come. We pray, Lord, that you help us to encourage others who may not be on the mountaintop right now, may not be dancing to Little Richard. We pray, Lord, that you would help them to find their dance in due season. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to recognize that even if we're on a mountaintop, that tomorrow may change. We may go through a grievous time. But we know, Lord, that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that you'll never abandon us, and that you love us with an everlasting love. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we will enter a new season, not like any season under heaven, as we move to that glorious home that you have went to prepare for us, the glorious coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, where we will enter in our new bodies, you will dry every tear, and that we will be with you from then on. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming.